Alrighty, guys, welcome to another episode of the Go For Two podcast. I am your host, Cargo. And as always, make sure you like, listen, subscribe, follow, rate 5 stars. That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. So today is February 23rd, 2021. Right now, it is currently post National Margarita Day. So, if you went and had a marg last night, I feel you. I am right there with you. I guess that's kind of like the end to the weekend or the this past week. And as you've seen from the title of this episode for the podcast, it's what a wild week. What a wild Wentz. Maybe top five most creative thing I've ever came up with, without a doubt. It's just really been a wild week, and I was going to take some time off, not too much time, but I wanted to hop on and record an episode because there's kind of been a lot that been going on, and, you know, I really didn't know where to start, but I wanted to talk about, like, the extremely difficult week that a lot of people across Texas went through with that, I guess, like, snowstorm. You know, for us, you know, we're obviously not used to it. So it's just something different, something very out of the ordinary to have two spans of, I guess, like snowstorms, you know, where we obviously had freezing temperatures, you know, several inches of snow, icy roads, a lot of car crashes during that past week, I'm sure. Flooding, no power, no water, or shortage of almost like food and gas. It's definitely one of those events that in our lives just kind of puts everything into perspective. Just when we thought, you know, last year it couldn't get any tougher, we start off with a bang here. But it was really good for me. You know, it was one of those things where you just kind of rely on friends and families for just basic necessities, and, you know, just grateful it's over now. It was a rough couple of days, but it looks like everything's kind of going back to normal. And just everybody listening, let's just, you know, make a genuine connection with people the next coming weeks. It's, you know, still a lot going on, a lot of people rebuilding. So just with a simple smile, just say please and thank you everywhere you go. Something like that kind of always just goes a long way. It's been really amazing to, like I said, see people come together. Helping each other out, you know, businesses providing water bottles, you know, obviously people having to go to work in not ideal situations. And of course, with it still being Black History Month, I do want to make a quick little spotlight. So on my Instagram, I follow Michael Huff. He's a former NFL UT football player. And what he was doing, and he's still doing it to this day, it's almost been a week now that he's just been paying for meals for people so they can go in the Austin area to, like, local restaurants and, you know, just get a warm free meal. Obviously helping out small businesses in that aspect. So I just wanted to take the time to recognize him for that. And honestly, there's a lot of people doing that. So it's just one of those things that, you know, through, like, these dark times, you know, there's always, you know, that bright spot. And, you know, I just hope that everybody is safe and doing better. And I do want to change the direction here. A couple things have happened last week. And I guess I'll really just start with the Texans and J.J. Watt parting ways. Once again, another star in Houston decides that, you know, I think it was really for the most part mutually that, you know, he wants out. He wants to obviously play for a championship, and rightfully so. So that's why it's a little bit different with, like, I guess maybe, you know, Deshaun. He just hasn't put that type of time in the way JJ has. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, James Harden said he gave everything to the city of Houston. And I'm sure he did in a lot of, like, monetary value and stuff like that. But, you know, what JJ Watt did was, you know, a lot of people forget about the Hurricane Harvey and how he did a lot to help rebuild that city. So that's why there's such a genuine and real connection between the city of Houston and JJ Watt. You know, just from, you know, having a lot of friends from the area, you know, and how much they love JJ. And he's getting up there in age. He wants to make a playoff run. And, you know, obviously the Texans are not in that position, you know, to make a playoff run. You know, we're just being honest, a new head coach, not a lot of draft capital, not a lot of money to work with in free agency. And there's also obviously the uncertainty with Deshaun Watson's future. And I mean, for me, I think right now for Deshaun Watson, I do believe he will get traded. I do believe that it will happen before the draft. And I'm going to go ahead and say that the Carolina Panthers are obviously the front runner, with them creating a little bit of cap space to possibly try to bring him in. I think this type of trade is going to be a lot of draft picks. I think it could be like a Herschel Walker type trade where, you know, Carolina might say, hey, we're going to give you our first and second this year, our first and second next year. And then I don't know how far they're allowed to trade draft picks. I know like in the NBA, like they trade like up to like 10 years of draft picks, you know, but I don't know how far they can go. But I would probably see something like that to where, you know, the Texans would have stockpiled a bunch of picks for the next couple of years. I don't think Carolina moves Christian McCaffrey. I know Deshaun's special talent. I just have a hard time with them moving good players like that. So I think it'd have to come in the form of, you know, just draft picks for the most part. And then obviously Teddy Bridgewater in that mix. But I'm sure within the next couple of weeks, it'll kind of ramp up and, you know, we'll probably get a better idea of what the offer is going to look like. Obviously, you can't really put a price on Deshaun Watson, you know, 25, as dynamic and special as he is. There's not a lot of guys that are out there, you know, that demand that kind of value. And I mean, as far as JJ, you know, obviously there's a couple different places I think he'll end up. I do think he could end up in Green Bay. He'd be, I think, a perfect fit. You know, he played his ball in Wisconsin. He played college there. He said that he always wanted to play in, you know, in Lambeau. So I think that's, I think if I was him, that's probably the first place I would look at. Maybe other than like Kansas City, or maybe end up in like Tampa Bay. Obviously, they have a lot of free agents that they're going to try to bring back. He'd probably have to take a pretty, you know, sizable pay cut for the most part. He could also join his brother TJ in Pittsburgh. I just think right now with Big Ben, a little bit of uncertainty at the quarterback position. You know, he could retire or he could come back. And if he does come back, you know, he's, you know, wasn't very dynamic or special last year as well. He got a lot of criticism. So I think those are probably like the two top spots for him. And also even like possibly a Buffalo Bill, you know, just so definitely something to keep my eye on. And of course, you know, we got the news of Carson Wentz getting traded to the Indianapolis Colts for a third round this year and a conditional round, second round pick next year, which more than likely will end up a first. He has to play at least like 85% of the snaps. I know he's had some injuries over the last couple of years, but I think for the most part, that'll be a good a first round pick for him. And I think this is another really good trade for both sides. You know, looking at like, I guess the Colts first, Phillip Rivers, you know, retired. So there's obviously a little bit of a void at quarterback for the Colts. Now, they do have Jacoby Brissett, who we know is a proven backup. And then they also have Jacob Eason, a strong-arm, talented quarterback that they drafted, I think, last year in the fourth round. He may or may not be ready. Maybe the reason why they made this trade was, you know, a couple different things, and I guess we'll kind of get into those. But I don't think it's a shot at the quarterbacks, really. I just think for a scheme, you know, it's a scheme fit. And also that relationship that Frank Wright and Carson have. Now, with the trade for the Colts, obviously, they didn't have to give a lot of draft capital, like, you know, with the Matthew Stafford trade. I mean, they're giving her a third round this year and then possibly a first next year, which I think is a good deal. They still have their first round this year. So GM Chris Ballard's not afraid to pull the trigger on big trades. You know, the one of the downfalls, obviously, now they're going to have to pay him $20 million a year now, which that's my question, is always just kind of the logistics when it comes to, like, the finances. I know that the basically for the Eagles, they'll take a cap hit of, I think, like close to like $40 million. But the Colts will have to pay the remainder of his contract. So, you know, Carson Wentz and Frank Wright reunited from their days in Philadelphia. And this is what Carson wanted. You know, he obviously wanted out of Philadelphia more than I guess they wanted to keep him there. You know, it's one of those scenarios where it's, hey, be careful what you wish for. Because you just might get it. You know, he has all the tools to make a fresh start. And I think it'll be good for him ultimately. He doesn't have to go back to being that MVP level. He just has to do his job. And, you know, I think that'll help elevate the people around him. He's capable of making big plays. It was a couple years ago that, you know, I mean, as a Cowboys fan, had him on my fantasy team. And he was, like, putting up, like, 5 touchdowns a game. He was just absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, looking at the Colts last year, I think Phillip Rivers might have cost them some of those games last year because, you know, Phillip has that gunslinger mentality where he's just kind of chucking it all over the field. And for Carson, it's, like I said, just to protect the ball. They have an amazing run game. They will have to possibly maybe look at left tackle in the draft. But other than that, the entire line is intact. He has a plethora of running backs. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor, we saw how special he was last year. Nehemiah Haynes. And then also possibly the return of Marlon Mack. The return of the Mack. I hope did y'all like that? Yeah. So, and they also still have Jordan Wilkins, another serviceable running back. You know, looking at the weapons, obviously Michael Pittman Jr. has showed flashes. Last year, especially in the playoffs. And that kind of just gives me a little bit of an idea of what he could possibly be next year. DK was a rookie last 2 years ago, and he really came on strong in that playoff game against the Seahawks. And I kind of, you know, see Michael Pittman maybe possibly taking that route that DK had last year. So they also have a top 5 defense. Once again, they still have their first round draft pick, and they still have some cap space to work with this year. So they can still possibly make some moves to maybe add another weapon. I know that they have a couple of restricted free agents, but we'll see how that opens up for them in the new league year, how they want to spend that money. And now it's like Carson, there's really no more excuses, man. It's just about, you know, going out there playing good football, man. It's just that simple. I think this was really good for the Colts ultimately. You know, they got their guy. He's still really young. I believe he's like 28. So if he can get his confidence back and start playing at a not a high level, but just like a mediocre level, like, I mean, this is a team that definitely could make a run next year in the playoffs, as they did this past year. You know, they could be like that, you know, Buffalo Bills team that takes it to the next level. And, you know, instead of losing to the Bills, they beat them next year in the playoffs. So, really like what they did there. Like I said, there's still a lot of unknowns as far as like what they're going to do in the offseason. But, you know, obviously as we get closer into the offseason, we'll dive into that a little bit more. Now, with that being said, I want to just take a nice cold refreshing sip of this wonderful beverage. I'm sure you guys already know what I'm drinking today. Man, hits the spot. So now for people wondering, you know, the why the Eagles didn't get as much, and I think it makes sense. Obviously, Carson did not play well last year. I think everybody knows that. You know, people have literally been talking about how bad he's playing for like a couple of years now. So that's why I think, you know, the reason why the Colts gave what they gave up is because, hey, like, this guy hasn't played well. And we're going to have to pay him the money that you guys promised him. So that's why you know, the Eagles might lose about $40 million in dead cap space, which, I mean, right now it sucks, but I think it'll make sense in the long run for them. So, you know, it's basically like paying Carson for this year and next year. But, you know, what's good is the Eagles have a quarterback and he's on a rookie contract, so they can kind of save some money there. If you think about it, it's like essentially maybe paying their quarterback what $20 million a year, and they still don't have Carson. That sucks. But so the Eagles do hold the sixth pick in the draft, and I think if they wanted to take a quarterback, they would need to absolutely love their options. And I don't think Justin Fields will be there. Zach Wilson could possibly be there. Definitely, you know, Trey Lance or one of those guys. I don't know if they'd go back to the North Dakota State fountain of quarterbacks. Didn't really work out with Carson. But I think, you know, and then obviously there's going to be a little bit of a quarterback carousel. I don't think they'll bring anybody in. I think this is Jalen. I think the Eagles, if I am the Eagles, I'm rolling with Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's shown moments where he could play with these guys and win a couple games for you. You know, he's, like I said, he's on the rookie deal, so this, it makes sense from the financial standpoint. He is a second rounder nonetheless. You know, it's not like he's a seventh round draft pick or like, you know, Gardner Minshew where it's, you know, a sixth round, you know, pick and he's making plays. He's a second rounder, so that's got to tell you something that they do have some type of confidence in him. And I think, you know, this is kind of what I thought about for the Colts last year before they got Cam. You know, hey, go with the young guy. Worst case scenario, you have a high draft pick again next year. And then next year you can decide if you want to move on from Jalen. My thing is just give Jalen Hurts a chance to start. He's been successful almost everywhere he's been, you know, at Alabama, Oklahoma. And like I said, he's shown some flashes and, you know, hey, best case scenario, you guys win the NFC East, which is not something out of the ordinary. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. So, you know, they might even have a better pick next year, and then they can go get the top quarterback available because, you know, obviously with the draft class the way it is right now, there's one guy who's just head and shoulders above everybody, and then everybody else kind of follows suit. But, you know, then again, you know, you kind of have to look back at last year's draft where – you know, you had three quarterbacks taken in the first six picks. You know, obviously Joe Burrow was one, Tua was five, and Herbert was six. So there could be a Justin Herbert sitting at six, and we don't even really know. So I just think if you bring in another quarterback, there's going to be a lot of controversy. And I think the last thing you want to do as an Eagles organization is have more controversy at the quarterback position. You know, let Jalen, you know, give him a shot. Let's see what he's got. And maybe the cards fall where they land. And that's pretty much all I got for this episode. Like I said, it was going to be kind of a relatively short one. I just wanted to come talk about, you know, obviously, you know, JJ Watt, the big trade. And a couple things happened this past weekend. I don't want to talk too much about it because it's important, but it's not really important, I guess, if that makes sense. Obviously, there was Cam Newton and the kid arguing. You know, the kid was calling him a free agent and broke or something like that. I mean, obviously, without a doubt, a shadow of doubt in my mind that the kid is wrong. And I just think a lot of kids, I guess it's really unfair to say that a lot of kids are like that. But, you know, I think – when you act out like that, I think it was like a joke. And then at one point it just got too far. It went too far. And it was like, you can't go back. And, you know, I just think, you know, for me, when it comes to like social media, it's either fame or shame. Like, you know, it's going to be one of those two things. And I think for the most part, I might just be like the old man, like, hey, get off my lawn. But if he's actually getting recruited at some of these camps, like I would probably pull that offer. There's millions of kids who have a better attitude and, you know, are just as talented. And I think there needs to be a lesson, you know, to the youth, like, hey, you can't just do whatever you want because somebody tells you you're pretty good at football. Like, you can't treat people like that regardless. And I think, yeah, just, you know, obviously he did come out with the apology letter, rightfully so. But, you know, this kid is at Cam Newton's camp. And I think for Cam, I think he could have handled that a little bit better. Like, maybe he just ignores the kid and just like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. Like, this guy doesn't even want to pay attention to me. But I think if I'm Cam, I would just ask him to, hey, you know what? We don't really tolerate stuff like that. You know, I want you just to go ahead and pack your stuff up and you can go. Thank you. Have a good day. You know, I think that would have really just kind of sent a message to the kids that, you know, what Cam has done, obviously, you could, the stats, accolades, that kid's never probably going to be in the league anyway. So, I just think that, like I said, Cam could have handled that situation a little bit better instead of like going at the kid and like asking him questions and like, hey, what's the problem? I don't get it. And for me, if like, you know, if I went to like one of those camps, I would just be like happy to be there. You know what I mean? Like, you have a chance to meet like maybe one of your favorite players there. You know, you just like never know. And you think about stuff like that. And, you know, my generation, we didn't really have the social media. Like, you couldn't just sign up to go to these camps, you know, online. So, you know, it's just one kid just, you know, almost ruining it for the other kids. And, you know, take advantage of the opportunities, you know, because other people don't have those same opportunities. So just kind of my thoughts. Definitely let me know what you think. And, you know, this past week, you know, I was able to kind of reconnect with an old friend of mine that, you know, we used to work together. And he texted me this, like, he's like, hey, man, like, you know, I've been listening to your podcast and you know, I really like it. So, like, you know, keep up the good work. And, you know, for a second, I kind of like blacked out. You know, I was just like, you know, it meant a lot to me that he's like listening. But, you know, sometimes I just kind of come on here and I just rant for, you know, minutes and stuff like that. And sometimes I just forget that, you know, people are listening. So, like I said, that was awesome. Really good. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, people just kind of, you do something small for somebody, but it means a lot. So it just, that was awesome. It was one of those things that I, you know, talked to him this weekend, and it was, you know, once again, we kind of just picked up where we left off, and always good to reconnect. And so I do have a couple projects I'm working on. Obviously, you know, the NFL offseason will kind of begin in March, and it's right around the corner. So I obviously will be doing some mock drafts. I'm doing some projects with a couple different groups and organizations. So look out for stuff like that. That's pretty much all I got for you today, guys. Y'all have a great rest of your week. Definitely just be kind to people. You just never know what they're going through. Of course, if you can, like this episode, like the podcast, subscribe, you know, give it 5 stars if you can. If you guys have any ideas, you know, everybody's always talking about, hey, I want to come on and jump on here. And I'm like, well, hey, you know, put something together and let's go, man. You know, we'll make it happen. So definitely thank you guys. And just always remember, go for 2.